You're listening to English with Monty, the podcast about the English language. Today is 8-Minute English, talking about separable and non-separable phrasal verbs. We look at the separable ones.
Mm-hmm.
Separable, rather than intransitive, they are transitive, which means they take a direct object. A direct object, for example, they're talking about the rubbish here, which in American English could be garbage. She took the rubbish out, or she took out the rubbish. Both of those can be used. There's not really a huge difference in meaning, is there, other than the fact that maybe in the first example, with the rubbish being in between, there's perhaps a bit more emphasis on the object, right?
Yeah, perhaps. She took the rubbish out, she took out the rubbish. For me, there's very little difference there. I think it's often just personal preference of the speaker. I don't think we consciously think I'd prefer to put the object in the middle here, or I prefer to put the object at the end. We don't think that, but it's just personal preference for when we're speaking. It just comes out naturally.
Well, that's it. There's not a huge difference, is there? I mean, for me, I feel the first one is a bit more emphasizing the object. As you say, it's quite small, isn't it, in terms of the difference?
I see what you mean. Yeah, she took the rubbish out, she took out the rubbish. Perhaps there's a very slight emphasis on the rubbish, the object, in the first option. Very slight.
Definitely. The important thing is here is that, okay, you can create that separation, but when there's a pronoun there, you have to put the pronoun in between.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say she took out it. You have to say she took it out. So obviously it's substituting the rubbish in this case.
Mm-hmm.
So that has to be in the middle, doesn't it?
Yeah. Pronouns can't go at the end of separable phrasal verbs. I guess we'll see more examples, but just sounds, again, very strange to say she took out it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, hopefully that sounds strange to English learners. I mean, as you said, the more you practice, but the more input you have, the more you surround yourself with English when you're just reading in English, listening to podcasts in English, watching YouTube videos, film series. Maybe you won't hear that particular phrasal verb, but you'll hear other phrasal verbs used in the same way, and you'll just develop this instinct that pronoun has to separate the phrasal verbs.
But again, it's just about the ear, isn't it, and how it comes across, whether it sounds right or not. There are certain separable ones that are maybe a bit more preferred, it's talking about here. So take that rubbish out, rather than saying take out that rubbish. I guess this is kind of talking about the idea of a bit more emphasis, so we're less likely to say take out that rubbish. Don't turn the volume up, turn it down. Don't turn up the volume is also possible, but again, less preferred.
Yeah, these are quite emphatic, whether the speaker is really stressing the object here, because it's quite emotional. Take that rubbish out. It's an imperative. It's an order. Don't turn the volume up. There's a reason that the speaker wants to emphasize. Again, I don't think native English speakers stop and think, okay, I really want to emphasize the object in this sentence, so I'm going to put it between the component parts of the phrasal verb. It just happens naturally, of course. I don't think, as it says, it's not incorrect to put in this context, to put the object at the end. It's just maybe, as you said, it's less preferred.
And that's the key, isn't it? Probably the best way of putting it, isn't it? Less preferred, as in you can do it, but people don't tend to because it's a bit more emphatic. I thought this was really interesting. And again, you don't really think about it, do you? But if the object is more than four or five words, or it's quite complex in terms of structure, then I guess it probably seems quite obvious, again, to us native speakers, but you need to put it at the end, right? Even if it's separable, and even if you want to emphasize it, the idea of she took out all the rubbish from the party. So obviously, all the rubbish from the party is quite a long thing for you to say. She took all the rubbish from the party out. Seems a bit odd, doesn't it, really?
Again, we wouldn't think about it consciously, but it could be confusing, couldn't it? Because there's so many words between the two parts of the phrasal verb that you may forget what the phrasal verb is. She took all the rubbish from the party out. What was she doing with the rubbish? It's something about out, but you forget about the... It could be confusing because the verb is so far away from the particle. So again, it's something very natural and intuitive for native speakers, but you have to think a little bit logically there. Am I going to confuse the listener if I put all this information between the two component parts of the phrasal verb?
It does say here that they are possible. It's just less preferred again. I mean, it is possible, isn't it? One other example they say here, it's my job to sort any kind of problem occurring in our company's computer systems out. It sounds like a bit of a mouthful, doesn't it? It sounds like out is an afterthought. You're almost waiting for them to say that sentence And then, oh, what's the final bit? Oh, it's out.
It's coming. Is it a few different options? No, sort any kind of problems occurring in our company's computer system into different sections. You don't know what they're going to say. Again, it's logical in this case. But as you said, it's not a fixed rule. You're not obliged to use it in this way, but it would be potentially confusing and odd, maybe, if you left the particle right until the end.
Very much so. Was there anything else we haven't really covered? I think we covered most things, haven't we?
Yeah, I think so. The thing with vocabulary in general, but especially phrasal verbs, of course, there are thousands of phrasal verbs. Some are separable, some are non-separable or inseparable.
You like this phrase, don't you? Inseparable.
I do. I think it's got a more emotional. It makes me feel quite melancholic now that you mentioned these phrasal verbs, the two parts of the phrasal verb. They don't want to be separated. It's not the... Nothing about grammar. It's more emotion.
We might have to put some Smiths track on this or something.
Yeah. I'm sure Morrissey must have made a song about inseparable phrasal verbs.
I'm sure he did. Yes, very much so. It's probably high on his list when he became a musician.
Exactly. But I think there's just so many things. Students have to be proactive and make the effort to learn them. When you learn a phrasal verb, just find out whether it's separable or non-separable. And I think in general with vocabulary, you can't just take things at face value. I think people just want the easy translation or definition and then move on to the next one. It's like, okay, that means that, let's move on. But no, sometimes you need to, not sometimes, you always need to do more work to really understand how the phrasal verbs in this case fit into sentences and the context and all those things. It's all important.
Definitely. And to recap, it's think about separable, whether you can separate it or not, and then where the pronoun goes. Obviously with separable ones, you've got to be thinking about the pronoun going in the middle rather than at the end. And then also thinking about possible less preferred options. They still might work, but may not be used as much or could be a little bit confusing depending on the length of the object afterwards. And then I suppose also, thinking about the particles. So when you're getting to a higher level, because this really is for a higher level, isn't it? You're thinking about certain phrasal verbs with maybe more than one particle. And that gives you a clue a lot of the time when you've got more than one particle, because it makes it much more of a thing whether you separate or not.
Yeah, just like anything, the more component parts, the more complicated it can get. It is tricky to learn and to teach phrasal verbs, but it's a lot about, as I said, being proactive and investigating them, but also just surrounding yourself or increasing your input of English. They come up everywhere, phrasal verbs. They'll be in films. They're generally more informal, but you could sometimes hear them in formal situations too. So they're worth making the effort to understand them.
Definitely. And especially if you're in an English speaking environment, I think that definitely becomes key. Thanks for coming on the show, Ben. I really appreciate it.
Pleasure, as always. Thank you, John.
You're welcome. And you've been listening to 8 Minute English.